Welcome to Turning Point. I'm Scott Catoon, and keeping me out of trouble today is my co-host, Anne Marie. We've got a great show for you. We will be speaking with the most selfish and annoying person that I have ever met, Robbie Abed, the author of Fire May I Beg You. This guy literally gets jobs just so he can quit. Robbie, thank you for coming to the show. I'm glad you didn't quit on us before we got to the studio. Anne Marie,
if
welcome.
He drops the mic and walks out, that'd be awesome.
Oh, somewhere during the show, we're going
to...
Somebody
have a screwdriver? I need to unscrew this thing.
Get some screwdrivers. We're going to drop the mic today. Here's your mic for today. Catch it. There's your mic. Anne Marie, I haven't seen you in like a week, I swear.
I know, we need to work on this.
It was 2 weeks in a row. I don't know what's going on. Like, things are crazy. This new morning segment that we do here with Steve Grzanich, which is awesome. People should tune into AM 720 in the morning at 5:35 a.m. if you're up for the show. We talk about Chicago Tech.
I support you in my dreams.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
But this has to be totally honest. That show has really like cut into my kind of like Tuesday, Thursday evening plans, which is sort of a problem, which gets back to why I haven't seen you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you ditched me at Technori at the after party.
I have no choice. They were serving alcohol and there was like a drink coupon. If I went over there with two drinks started, that's like kickstarting
a problem. Wait, I liked when you had one beer and then you come up to me with your Barry LaCroix and you go, hey, Emery, look at it. I go, I already watched you have a beer, bro. Like, that's not even.
Is it LaCroix or LaCroix?
Well, you're supposed to say that if you know how to speak French.
I'm not cultured. Robbie, thank you for sitting there idly while we go into this. So I've met you actually we were talking about Technori event that I ditched out on after the amazing Technori event.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I actually met you at a Technori event, and
absolutely.
This is how this all got started. You had your Fire Me, I Beg You shirt on.
Oh, I did have it on there too.
Yeah, you did. So that's why I begged
I'm
to ask.
A shameless promoter.
You are.
Yeah.
You're an annoying, selfish, shameless promoter.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show.
This is the nicest thing anybody said to me all week, by the way. I just want to let you know.
So before people understand, think that like there's some sort of animosity here, which clearly, you know, you are annoying.
Mm.
Tell us the story about why everyone says you're the most annoying person they've ever met.
Well, that's great. Long story short, I quit my job in like end of 2011.
And what was it?
My job?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was, I've actually never really told people that I did the exact job, but I used to run an IT department. Worst job of my life. Great people, honestly, fantastic people. If you're listening, I really respect you. But the worst job of my life, and I really wanted my boss to fire me, but she didn't. And
wait, can you tell us some of the measurements or measures that you took to try to get fired?
Well, you know, it was just, for anyone that's really passionate about what they do, it's very hard to not try. It takes more energy to not try. And like you not try for a week, then you're like, screw this, I have to try. And then you realize, like, why am I trying? And that's really where I was like, I just have to get out of here. And so the story was when I quit, I became an entrepreneur. And I told myself I'm going to write a blog post every single day for 2012. So I ended up writing about 200 blog posts. And one of those blog posts was Fire Me, I Beg You, which I wrote when I was part of Technori. I forced myself to write it. It took me about 25 minutes to write this article, and then it sort of like blew up online on a bunch of different websites. And I was like, wow, people actually hate their jobs as much as I did.
Right.
And a lot of people want to get fired. And so
when was this? What year?
This is about, I'd say, the middle of 2012. Yeah.
Okay.
2012. And to your annoying part, what I realize is to get people's attention, you have to be super annoying.
Yeah.
So there's a guy named James Altucher. He changed my writing altogether. So when I was writing, I didn't know what to write about, but he taught me how to bleed on the page, which means basically like be vulnerable and just write everything out there. And I took it very literal, and he changed my writing, essentially changed my life. And so I was like, I have to meet this guy. I tried.
He's very hard to get a hold of. He's a very, very, very well known.
Tell people who he is if you.
Yes, so James Altucher. He's a prolific blogger. I think USA Today says one of the best business books of all time.
Yep.
He is a machine when it comes to writing. He's helped a lot of people change their lives, and he's been all over the
speaking engagements, literally all over the place. Businesses pay a lot of money for him to come in,
and very, very sort of infamous guy. And so I was like, I have to get this guy. So I tried over two, three years, try to get hold. I tried to do free work for him. I was like, I'll do your website, I'll do your marketing, I'll write for you, I'll do anything.
You ended up in spam, or?
Well, he would respond back to the first email, but never respond back again. So like the fourth year, I'm like, screw this man, I have to meet him. Long story short, took about 15 emails, a couple tweets, some emails, and I ended up meeting him in the middle of New York. To have a 30-minute coffee meeting with him.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
I basically went on this trip, He lives in the middle of nowhere.
You went on this trip to meet him, though, didn't you?
Basically, I was in...
I'm sure you wrapped a story around it, but I'm here in New York to see James Altucher.
Absolutely. And yeah. I didn't know where... And it was the middle of nowhere,
there, like,
and I took
a
rental
car.
There were a
bunch of people with little earpieces just in case Robbie got all crazy.
What's that? You know, absolutely. And so when I met him, the first thing he said was... You are the most annoying person I've ever met.
Yes.
And oh, by the way, do you want to do a podcast with me? I was like, yes, I want to do a podcast with you. And we were supposed to have coffee, but we ended up going. He brought me to his house. I met his wife, and we did a podcast on one of his big podcasts that he has.
And then eventually, I moved into his basement.
Absolutely, and
he adopted me.
He adopted me, that's where I became the most annoying person alive. And but I think the thing is, if you're annoying plus add value,
right. Would you like just
great.
Maybe say persistence?
Persistence, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, but you know what? Everybody claims they're persistent. Nobody says, dude, I'm annoying.
Yeah. People always say is I just find one person to stalk. That's, professional, legal stalking.
I'm going to go.
If you want to meet somebody, there's good ways to do it. And I think people are, the internet just, it's just so easy to connect with people, and people are busy, but it's like if you add value to them.
Yeah.
They're just too busy for you.
We talked about this with Rick Gruber, who was on our show a couple times ago, and I'm going to reiterate it slowly and kind of reframe it. But I've always said, this isn't the same kind of thing, but it's the same idea. I've always said that I don't like burn bridges or like smolder them. I like blow them up. They implode. Like bridges just gone. And everyone's like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, you know how reckless that is? And I'm like, it's not reckless. If you bring value and you've got something and you're going somewhere, nobody will care. They will rebuild that bridge and they will follow you wherever they're going.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that. I think it's the same thing with this. I think you can pester the hell out of people and they literally hate you. They hate you. And I'm meeting with you. You're only on the show right now just so I could stop having you talk to me about the show. That's a lie, and that's not actually true, but
right.
It could be. And then when I meet you, all of a sudden, this show blows up and he brings a whole bunch of value. And you're like, whatever. I start bugging you.
But yeah, see, I don't necessarily burn bridges. I kind of take a match and just like cut each little piece of the rope off.
Make it look medieval.
Just kind of like slowly. And then finally, like I'm not in your
I like firecrackers.
Anymore.
So it's like.
Right, yeah. And then like someone will look around and I'm not around anymore. It's like,
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. That's only like a handful of people. I actually have pretty high tolerance for.
I know you do.
Things.
Pieces of things. Internet of things. It's an internet of things here. So I guess one of the other things we should really get into is the fire me, I beg you part, because obviously you're very, very annoying in the selfish.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The selfish part about this is that you make a choice to like, I'm done.
Right.
Like, because, I'm going to relate to you like in a huge way on this, because this was what the turning point for me to leave and go to graduate school with no, I didn't know what I was going for. I went to, like, just because I knew Northwestern was a good school. I was like, all right, well, you can't go wrong there and find myself. I was in a job that just like, no offense to the people at the job is fine for some people. It just wasn't fine for me. I can't be sitting in an office with like in the middle of nowhere and not have like a voice and like be able to do crazy things. That's just me. And so it was like, I was literally hiding my own passion. I liked the work,
right.
But I was hiding my own passion and living a lesser life for somebody else because I didn't want to disappoint other people. And it's like, no.
That's, what was your turning point?
My turning point?
Like
I do like that. I can actually tell you my turning point was fantastic. It was during the winter of 2009. And it was the snow. I don't know if anyone here remembers this, but like the snow that like shut down Lakeshore Drive and like all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Apocalypse.
Yep. So it took me 7 hours to get home. And I was in Lake Forest.
Oh my
it took
God,
me 7 hours.
Wow. I would love to have that drive recorded.
Oh, my God. No, well, okay, so we don't have to record it. You can just go look at my car. The steering wheel still warped. I bent my steering wheel because I was slamming. I was punching it so hard.
Nice.
It was the moment where I was like, you know what? No. I didn't have to. We knew there was going to be a snowstorm, so I didn't have to go.
Well, you also should have watched the news. It said, don't take Lakeshore Drive.
I think you
said wasn't on Lakeshore. Yeah. I wasn't actually on Lakeshore. Was like, I was just coming back from Lake Forest on 294.
Mm-hmm.
I emailed my boss and said, basically, like, hey, it's supposed to be a big snowstorm. I don't want to waste the time. I was like, we kind of need you. I'm like, all right, I want to be a committed person, so I went.
Of course. Yeah.
And that all wrapped into
That's
like
a
multi-year
turn, right.
period where you go, did I just waste 8 hours of my life in a snow that I knew I'm smart enough to know I didn't have to do this for somebody else? The hell with you. I quit.
Right.
And,
that's
didn't.
That's what it's all about.
That's
and
what it's all
what's,
about.
What's funny about that is that, and for me, often, was that you get to a point where you realize, oh my, I've been getting abused on many different things, and I'm living somebody else's dream.
Yep.
Right? And then once you sort of realize that, and
doing something for other people to live their dream as they take credit for it.
Absolutely. And especially if they take credit for it. And then once you come to that point, and it's that plus when you realize, wait a minute, I think I'm actually better than that person. I can do my boss's job.
This is my favorite show. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when you realize I can do that person's job, and it's sort of been confirmed by other people, because you really don't realize until people are like, mm-hmm. hey, you're actually pretty good at that. And then you're like, wait a minute.
Do you hack into their email and see that they're...
Yeah, I mean, people just say you're good. They get some compliments. You're kind of like, wait a minute. Yeah, don't...
I didn't do that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody, well, you
don't advise it at all.
I'm not saying to break the law or anything. But, you know, just
stop plus wound.
This happens. Well, I think this is an awfully nice time to pivot over to Anne-Marie on this, because I think she can counter my story with the same kind of stuff,
absolutely.
Right? I mean,
what my turning point was?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your turning point? I mean,
open up.
You know, I'm very divinely guided, and I believe in being around good people. And mm-hmm. the second that I start getting anxiety around being around other people or people. Don't respect genuine people I care about. There's three points that you know that bother me. If someone's disrespectful and demean other people to make themselves feel better, so that box got checked. not allowing other people to grow and holding them back for the sake of yourself. And then, you know, more or less, I don't know. I guess probably the last one would be just me not respecting myself to the point where I know what I would like. But I mean, I'm just a really nice person. I really think so.
Right.
I get a tipping point, and you know that. I mean, you've seen me mad before.
I have.
It takes me so long to get pissed off. It's not even funny. But when I do, it's like the Sicilian Native American Irish comes out in full force, and it's not. It's
I would
not
debate
okay.
the time part, but yeah, it doesn't take that long.
It takes yeah.
Or at least not visits.
I like to use colorful words.
Were you screaming right before the show, Anne-Marie? I don't know. I understand.
I would say, though, if you are subjected to negative situations and you feel that your core virtues are being compromised for the sake of somebody else, I mean, I have been in situations where, you know, multiple situations where people have taken advantage of me, but I was allowing that behavior to happen anyway, you know, and so then eventually when you stop enabling that behavior and you're able to realize the value that you have. And a lot of it is having mentors, like we were speaking earlier. A lot of them is having like a good amount of team. The sky is never the limit, and I say that all the time. So you just have to believe in yourself, and it's not other people that are going to believe in you.
Right.
It's totally true, and you know I think one of the things that's, I guess I always try to say is like a certain level of, you know, you working in a cubicle, and it's not to mm-hmm. disparage people who have different kinds of jobs, but as you elevate up the level of the success chain, your margin for error mm-hmm. is less, right? So you never want to give up sound footing for that striking blow on a deal or on a competitor, whatever it might be. I say that to a lot of people, and I have one exception to it always. And I didn't have this exception, and I paid the price for it. Mm-hmm. I now have that exception, and I tell this every single person. Forget about the striking blow and the good, like having, you know, good footing, whatever, your surroundings, all of it. If you feel like in that moment that people are not giving you the ability to be your best you, walk away. Drop it. Yeah. Nothing is worse, so just drop it.
And I think a lot of it is just empowering yourself to say, mm-hmm. well, I can really like negotiate the salary. I mean, one story that comes to my mind is when I negotiated my salary for this other company that I joined. You know, I didn't negotiate because I got referred from like a good partner in the company. I was like, you know what, I really respect this company. Mm-hmm. I think the pay is fair. You know, let's just leave it at that. Let's start off on a great note. 6 months later in my office, and one of the VPs who interviewed me comes to my office, and at this point we've become good friends. And he comes up to me, we got on the topic of me joining, and he goes, man, you were such a sissy during negotiation. He goes, I so owned you during negotiation. I go, and that was like,
you're like, thanks, bro.
Oh my God. And it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. It was like, by not negotiating, mm-hmm. by not pushing back, I was actually viewed less.
Proving
like my value was less. Like mm-hmm. I didn't value myself. I could have mm-hmm. easily got like another 10, 15, 20% mm-hmm. raise by saying, listen, mm-hmm. I think that's a great first offer, but let me tell you the value that I provided in the past and the value I provide for you. I really think it should be 20, 30% more. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll never go, we don't need a guy with that type of confidence. And they'll say, well, you know, let's just figure something else out. So that was a huge turning point for me. I was like, well, thank you for that, because that really actually helped me.
It's very, very insightful.
That's my wheelhouse for sure.
I was going to say, I hope the guy didn't mind that you stuck the screwdriver in this tire after you said that. But
no, we're still good friends. I take those things like, thank you very much, because otherwise I would have never figured that out.
That was awesome. He should have just 6 months later.
You know, bro. I kind of owe you like a Firestone.
Yeah. I mean, I've negotiated over 40 contracts. And it, like I say before, I was interviewed in another thing. It's if you don't respect yourself or they don't respect you in the negotiation aspect of everything. Then it's not even worth it because you're going to feel resentment, which you probably did after they told you that. So
yeah. Well, that was why I was like, wait a minute, I could really push back for more.
I think everybody should. Yeah, it's a great line. It's a great story. We got to wrap things up here, unfortunately. Otherwise, I'd like to talk more about this. But where do people go to find and learn more about your book and what, like, kind of the genesis of the book? Obviously, we've talked about but what is Fire Me, I Beg You?
Fire Me, I Beg You is about just taking ownership of your career and being selfish with your career for once in your life and doing what you're good at and doing what you're passionate about and actually starting to change your life. And
sounds
that's
like
what it's
every
really,
entrepreneur should read that.
I would say so.
And that's what it's all about. So you just go to firemeibegyou.com, and that's it. You can sign up for a course on how to quit your job. It's free. It really works. I've helped.
It's free because you're not going to have a job.
This guy is going to get rich selling courses on how to quit. He's the biggest quitter I've ever met.
I've helped hundreds of people quit their jobs based on saying, just totally enlightened over 10 emails. I swear to you, 10 emails. People are emailing saying, you've changed my life off of these emails.
Aww, that's fantastic.
Robbie, I'm so appreciative of you coming here. You're annoying and selfish, and you're the biggest quitter that I've ever met.
And we all should hang out after.
And we need to hang out
afterwards. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I got to quit a whole bunch of stuff, so we got to talk.
Yeah.
This has been awesome. I don't even know how to.
For you.
Oh, well, yeah. I could use that. Anne-Marie, thank you for joining us as
awesome.
Well.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thanks, guys.
I don't really have an exit for this show because I get yelled at when I do boom.
How about we just quit?
You know what?
Let's just quit, man.
I quit.
I quit, too.
I quit. Screw this. I'm out. Who has the mic? Drop the mic.